Hello, Jeha. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Flourishing Healing podcast. It has been a while since we've shared an episode, and we recorded this podcast after our Rumirumi Wānanga in Perth. I love the in-processness of this because after every Wānanga holding space, there I need to understand our own part in the world. Different people who come into the space bring questions that maybe we haven't pondered before, or the same questions that we can ponder from a different position. And it shows me so deeply and so truly that our truth evolves, that these resources, even something, sometimes I listen back to podcasts I've recorded earlier and I know I would respond completely different now. So there can be many truths. So it's such a beautiful opportunity and blessing to have my dear friend here in Perth and to have recorded a number of podcasts. There will be a few more coming out. Speaking of transitions, we actually transitioned quite quickly out of the end of this as we both had to go. So there is an abrupt ending yet. I hope you enjoy this beautiful corridor conversation with Sam. I'm so excited today to be talking in person with one of the Aquatura Whānau trainers, friend, sister, mama bear, all things juicy bear coach, Samantha Coffey, who's here today. We are going to flow with the idea of transitioning between the sacred and the everyday and see where that conversation takes us. Behind the scenes, we're often having conversations about holding space and this practice, doing rumirumi, our own lives, and how we navigate the space of sharing the mahi and living a life authentically. Is there anything that comes to you around that particular topic that's just sitting with you and that you want to talk to?
It's so beautiful to be here alongside you, sister, in person. I'm excited now. I went through a phase of thinking you show up the same everywhere you go, and that's true to me to a certain degree. That was probably about 6 years ago when I was really trying to figure out what it looked like. And there was also a phase where I was like, actually, I want more pieces of me and who I am to come out. And then there was also a place where I thought, I have to be the same everywhere I go, everyone I'm with, like I just have to always be the same so that I'm not showing up in different places as a different person. I do deeply believe in that. I also think that there's a sacredness in who you spend your time with and how you show up in different places, because you don't want to give all of you to everyone. All of your relationships are different and sacred in a different way too. So it's evolved and changed over time for me, that piece. My family, my children, my workspace, I have made it more intentional, sacred in different spaces, and trying to transition can be really challenging, especially if you have more than one workspace. So we're working in, well, me and my partner are working in some spaces together, working for different organizations or contracting to different places. What I've come to realize is that you really do need a way to transition from each space. Sometimes it's really tough. And I'm still in it at the moment, and we're figuring out different things and how can I cleanse off from different spaces and move into another one. I'd love to hear your perspective on this, but one of the best things I've found is if we have a big drive, I have the opportunity to debrief and clear that out. Sometimes I intentionally need to tell myself, okay, I'm going to move through this or release whatever I need to release. But when I get home, I'm not going to take this energy home and I'm not going to take these conversations home, because then it has the opportunity to take over. And whatever I might choose to hold on to, it will come out in my home relationships or, you know, friendships or with my children. Those are some really big learnings I'm having now, especially having more than one workspace, because they're all different as well. It's no longer just work and home. It's different workspaces and home. So it's, yeah, I'd love to hear some of the things that you do.
What pinged for me is the different ways I've navigated over time. When I first began practicing, there was a lot of preparation. It helped me remind me that I was going into the mahi space, the healing space. In hindsight, I think it was genuine to who I was at that time. I was wearing a mask and I was performing rumi-rumi or performing miri-miri or performing women's circles, whatever I was doing, there was a performance. It was correct for that time and what I needed to build in my own mana, my understanding of the power of the practice and confidence. I think that stepping into that space of being quite strict with how you hold your space and those sort of things was really important for me to build up the muscle of doing a lot of mahi. I see the beauty in that. What was also pingy for me, I had this really beautiful realization the other day, which was quite a challenging one. Me and my partner have been together for 2 years and we've just been navigating. Well, for me, there was this 2 year thing of feeling closer to him, but also not knowing how to get closer to him. And in that process of examining myself, also realizing that prior to meeting him, I was essentially completely married to my work for 10 years. And so even remembering to step out of the space of listening to others at the end of the day was such a huge thing. It was almost as though I didn't know how to have a conversation with people where I wasn't holding space. It's like I'd literally been holding space for 10 years. So I hadn't actually stepped out of that. I looked at my friendships and I was like, there was very few people at the time who actually stepped into hold space for me of friends. I was paying supervisors or counselors, or I had some few beautiful friends, you being one, who do step into that space. It was also hard, I guess, for people to know me and meet me other than me being a practitioner or a teacher if I wasn't shifting out of that energetic and out of that role. So I had no awareness until very recently that I hadn't actually ever shifted out of that fully. And what I'm navigating now is finding that balance between being, I guess, who I am now in terms of like wanting those two worlds, wanting a more just real normal life. Like I actually find for me, what's more exciting at this point in time is normality and random things and trackies and going for walks and talking shit and having a glass of wine is actually more appealing to me at this time than the spiritual world that I've lived for the last 15 years essentially. And I embodied it completely, and I feel like I've traversed so many corners of that world and I loved it, but it's not where I am at right now. So we just came out of this weekend, and I was actually worried before it, and I mentioned it in the WA, that I was worried that I wasn't being Māori enough or spiritual enough, and so how would I hold the space? I feel like it was still a really beautiful one. I think what gets lost for me trying to find more of that normalness and try to find more me is some of that energetic of what we think spiritual is. One other thing that I also noticed, which I'm still working with, I haven't landed in it, is that in relaxing some of my holds on sessions, I feel really messy, and that's a really vulnerable feeling. I feel as if when I don't do everything perfectly like I was before, when I leave a little bit longer before setting up or whatever, it's so freeing. It's what feels right. It's what I want. It's like more of a natural flow. It's better for me. I'm able to fit in more health-based things. I'm able to have more time for some of my friends and family. I'm able to put my own exercise first. It still feels really scary to do that, to make myself the priority over creating a really perfect space for clients. So I still haven't got that right, but that's sort of where I'm sitting at it, witnessing the beauty of all of those different progressions of transitioning in and out and seeing them as separate to now sort of seeing them as the same, and also aware that the world doesn't see them as the same.
Oh, it felt so freeing to hear. I knew that because we've had some beautiful conversations around it, but just hearing it felt really freeing and healing for me too, because that's a huge thing that I've been navigating. For those of you that don't know, I'm living back in New Zealand now. I studied under Rangi Huia. I'm in my 7th year now, so 6 years ago. It's been such a beautiful unraveling of my own healing first and foremost, but then my mahi and how it's wanted to grow and transition. I've moved into business, and then how I've moved my business home to New Zealand and alongside my partner. In doing that, I've moved away from my sisterhood, my community, my family, and that triggers a little emotion there. It was so natural and normal for me here because this was my home for 12 years and this is where it began for me. So I had so much examples around me as well, and such a huge community of healing facilitators. It was just like a normal life and we could all learn and grow together. And in moving home, after not living there for 12 years, that came with an array of different things and learning and growth and taking my mahi and weaving alongside other people and practitioners and the way they do things. And doing that, it really showed me how much I had to take a look at myself and how I wanted to show up in my business It really is a self-reflection when you want to be aligned in your mahi and not be a follower of what the majority are doing. Not that there's a right or wrong, but in myself, I really wanted to continue to follow that alignment. You go through times where you feel like, am I being lazy with my certain practices? Have I got all the ducks in a row? You know, is everything perfect? And have I showed up perfectly? And then I started to realize that it's like better for the space that I'm holding. How am I going to serve my clients the most is how I'm showing up for myself first. Sometimes stopping to get a coffee and being a little bit later to the space means that I can be a bit more toe. I love coffee. And I think it's really important to speak on being a parent to young children. When I am leaving my home space, to go to mahi, sometimes the priority for me is to leave my children in a state where they are well enough, opposed to being like, oh, I've got to go. Sometimes you're going to have those moments. For the most part, I had learned over time that is going to be more the priority. Otherwise, I'm going to go into my space feeling uneasy and the whole day I'm going to be thinking about that. So those are the sorts of things that I've had to learn about transitioning into different spaces and honoring what's most important first and foremost. There's the professionalism and all these types of things. And if you are contracting to places, you know, there's that as well and a timing thing. But for the most part, it always works out when you are being truthful to yourself. Because if I'm showing where I'm holding space for people who are navigating things and I can't navigate it myself, not that it has to be perfect. It's like giving myself grace where I'm going to be giving my whaiora grace and implementing practices that I'm expecting. If I'm going to be the one that's creating spaces to give people tools, am I using them myself? That's been the best challenge over these 2 years being home, actually having to fully face all of these challenges alone. I still have beautiful friends. A lot of them are quite distant. So in a lot of ways, it's just me and my partner and our tamariki. It's felt really nice to have this conversation and realize sometimes you do feel alone facing these things, but these are the things that aren't being spoken about. Like holding space for people in 10 years of being a space holder, it does take its toll. And if you're not able to have space held for you as well, or how you can hold space better for yourself, like you said. Although showing up to, for example, my mahi, and I do have certain practices that I've learnt along the way and from wānanga, making sure that the space is created. Most of the time it's the intention. And although it's so good to have all these things that I need my why, how can I cleanse it out? Where am I sitting in myself? What is the intention? And the rest kind of unravels from that. It's already there. It's just making sure that I'm toe in a genuine aligned way.
Yeah, I love that. Something I realized a while ago is that when you start to be authentic, you sometimes naturally go against your teachers or what you've learned or what other people are learning or what other people are doing. I realized that for me, the hierarchy of my practice, of my truth, and what I want to impart to everyone else is always that first, the highest being is our own alignment. And then under that's a deep respect for our teachers. And then beneath that's whatever else we're, you know, is there. And obviously family and all that shifts wherever our hierarchy is in terms of the practice. When I really understood that, it made some of the conflicts that naturally arise feel easier, because something I've grappled with along the way as well, and I think it ties into this idea of transitioning, is like how to honor our teachers while also honoring ourselves, or honor a teaching while also honoring ourselves. And sometimes what I felt in my own body was that the challenge in transitioning was because I was either holding myself to a standard that wasn't actually achievable and was really not genuine to me. And then that was more exhausting. So that was why it would take me so long to transition out or in of a space, because I was literally entering an energetic that wasn't my own. It's cool to know that whole spectrum or all the differences so you know your capacity. And there are times, I think more so, in session, I think more so in wānanga, because there's way more energetics happening, where you have to extend yourself. But I know I can, because I have had to do that. Those challenges build resilience to know what you can go through and navigate. I definitely feel that my transitions this year have gotten way shorter than they used to be. I used to need, there was sometimes after wānanga where I would need weeks to recover, and I feel pretty okay today. And it's the day after. I can still feel that I've got an energetic of wanting to be slow and wanting to honour myself. And yeah, I can feel my needs, but it doesn't feel like I'm wiped out. There was one wānanga that we held actually in COVID that we were on day two of our wā, and what over the years our wānanga have gone different times, 6 days, 2 days, 3 days. Now they're two. In this particular time, they're a 6 day or a 3 day. And it was day two that COVID lockdown happened in Perth. I honestly think it was like so conflicting because I felt really relaxed. I got to rest. I was also uncertain about all the decisions I had made around that and all the narrative energetics. I don't think in hindsight of that, I was truly, truly aligned with my own views and beliefs in that moment. So it was freaking exhausting. Even though we actually had this beautiful opportunity to rest, it was a lot more logistics and all these things. I feel this year my transitions between mahi and my have gotten a lot shorter. I've also become a lot more reverent to my needs of transitioning to life. My partner's FIFO, I realized that when he is coming home, that I prefer to have a few hours to prepare myself and just make dinner and feel good about the house rather than moving from mahi to seeing him, because my energy is in a really different place than partnership energy. So it's interesting that it's been a hard transition for me to navigate because I do love working. I love this work. I love this practice. My tendency prior to meeting B was to just do that all the time. So to then sort of train myself and go, no, you've got these other priorities or these other spaces you want to explore has been a real journey in terms of that transition.
That kind of just leads me into relationship as well, like with my partner, especially us working together quite a lot now. So we both do body work. We both hold circles for women and men, but he also does personal training work. I find it really interesting, like as we've worked together, I actually thought that we might struggle. It's actually brought us closer together. I think a lot of the challenges that we had in the beginning where there was a bit more friction was learning like a new level of whakanoa, that neutrality and staying in our own lane. Although we do body work, we are very different practitioners and we both hold a very different space and our work is very different. Over the past couple of years, what I've noticed is he honours my work, I honour his, and we both have come to, I guess, like different agreements along the way that like how we will hold space for each other when debriefing. It's helpful to have someone to debrief when you have big mahi days, because generally it's a full day of body work for us. When we're travelling home, we've figured out different things along the way of how to debrief about mahi, and if each other has the capacity to hold that debriefing, and then we transition to our family. What I've come to realize is like, okay, are we done with that conversation now? And then transition into our children, which is quite often because we will then be missing them. Most of the time they're at school. So then we'll talk about our children and whatever is sitting there with that, because we leave it at the door when we go to mahi. We tend to not pick that up until we leave. We don't want to entangle our children into our work. Debrief about our whai ora. This is not talking about specific people. This is talking about our practice, not our whai ora's personal lives or anything like that. It's more the practice. And then we'll move into our children.
It's sort of in the idea of that supervision episode with Liz, where as practitioners, we're required to, well, as counsellors, not so much in the Rumi Nomi, I really, really believe in it. We're required to do our own work. We're required to debrief and to understand the things that come up for us, because even though we're holding space, we're definitely not these sacred neutral beings that are not touched or moved by people's grief and all the things they're going through. So I love that you're debriefing. I think it's so important.
Thank you for clarifying that too. That's exactly part of it. And also ways that we can learn and grow from each other. Different techniques or tools that each other has for specific things can be quite helpful. And then going back to relationships, really trying to find ways where, to be completely honest, sometimes I'm losing pieces of myself when I immerse too much into mahi. And then I'm like, oh, like, what about me? That's when things start to go off for me, when I'm not honouring my own needs or those pieces of me. And going back to, I absolutely loved it when you were talking about the simplicity of life and having a glass of wine or whatever it might be. My intention was to learn to be selfish, which people who know me will understand, especially as a recovering people pleaser and all those things. It's like learning to put myself at the forefront. It's such a journey that I'm on this year, and it's meant that I've been putting myself first, which is the outcome that my health is far better off. I'm showing up more as who I actually am, and my external is starting to show my internal a bit more. Finding those pieces of me, like my sensuality, like that's actually a big thing about who I deeply am. And like, I want more of that. I'm also putting that out there while I'm here. Finding those things that make me more aligned, which make me show up in my mahi more aligned as well. And one of the things that's really helped me this year is going back to sport. I went back to rugby this year, and it's bringing out those pieces of me that I love. Healthy competition, rough and tumble pieces of me. Like, I'm actually quite strong physically, and I like exerting that and playing it in a team sport and being amongst all my old friends and that community. It's been so good for my soul and so good for the childhood piece of me. I grew up in that environment, and I really love the pieces that I love of that, and I don't love the pieces that I don't love of that, and it's all okay. Knowing me, and just because I do this style of work, it doesn't mean that I'm not me. And so it's been really cool to re-immerse and be like, I'm just me. You know, we're all just each other, and no one's, I guess, above anyone else. We're all just on this playing field, and you do you, I do me, and we connect when we connect. And that's been really good for my soul this year.
I love that. I've actually had a similar-ish experience of, I had this insight that when I left home, I left New Zealand when I was 17, I went into the space of like coming from trackies and like wearing whatever and being a farm girl to feeling like I had to dress up and wear makeup and always be put together because that's the environment I went into afterwards. And I've really been re-embracing my tracky big t-shirt itself. And it's been so fun and re-remembering my teenage self, and like not in that dysfunctional, traumatized way, which is how I've looked at her over these last 10 years as I've been on my healing journey, looking at how cool she was and how she didn't give a shit. And I just love her. And I really love, even in, you touched on it, even though you didn't say it, she was sensual and she was excited about that energy and she was excited about getting to know herself and all of that. And I've really been enjoying getting to know her. I wonder, in line with our discussion and all of this navigating of self and mahi, what pieces have you found, and I know it's ever evolving, but what pieces have you found that are your necessary parts for your systems or structures in that process? What I was thinking about earlier, I was talking about this, I used to be really rigid and reset everything up and be perfect and click so much seawater and try and learn and all these karakia, which I'm still not the best at, like all these things. And now it's more opening as much as possible before. Karakia is really important for me. It's like the karakia open and the karakia close signals to me, open, and then I step into that role and allow whatever happens to happen. There's still touch points along the way that I want to know. Like, I want to know failed or people are okay-ish to go home. We got to debrief last night. You came and helped me unpack the car. Thank you so much. I love that. So cool. Often I am doing it on my own. That debrief piece is important for me if something has dysregulated me, both in sessions or in wananga. And not that it wasn't actually that dysregulating. I want to debrief anyway to be like, this happened, I was a little bit unsure about what I chose here, or we went here, that sort of thing. If you hadn't come, I would have set that up in another way. I have those resources and that knowing that I need to talk through things that happen or decisions I've made or different points. So in the debrief, important to me, but not karakia in the way that, oh my God, karakia cures this, or if I don't use a karakia, I'm not safe. But it's more a signal to myself, like, okay, we're getting ready to do mahi. Let those other parts go. Step into the skills and the knowing and the energetics that you have for rumirumi or for being a kairahi now. So, yeah, I wonder if there's anything like that that pings for you.
I feel like you explained it very much, how I practice now, which makes me laugh. I would say I wanted to touch on how I used to be, especially moving back to Aotearoa and having a certain level of support around our tamariki. Things had to change in terms of how much time I had. So I used to have so much time, as in much time to set up and pack down in a flow, because I am a flowy person. Whereas my partner's a very go, go, go person. So we've been together in that way is even funny. Now we don't have as much time, but we're very intentional. I can get there and the first thing I will do is set everything up. Once my table and all my things are in place, I feel like that needs to be done straight away so that my body knows what's happening. And then once that is in place, it's like, okay, cool. Then I'll usually do a breather, knowing that I am a flowy person and I do like to feel regulated, but then also weaving between my priority is to have more time with my children and for them to head off to school feeling like we're all feeling regulated as a family. That is more my setup now, which is super interesting, but it's because I know I'm aligned. Okay? So once the table's there, then I know, okay, cool. And my partner, he has his own process. And then we usually naturally just come stand in the middle and then the other person will know, okay, then they'll come stand in the middle and then karakia. So it's very much similar to how you described the karakia for me. It just makes me feel toe and it does give me that feeling like, okay, cool. Now we're here. Now we're doing the mahi. And then from there, it's all intention. And I think the same with closing. It's like closing all the things that need to be closed and then having that intention.
I love this conversation. I guess for me, what I wanted to close on was just that thought of if you are stepping into sharing this mahi or any healing mahi or whatever you're stepping into, we all have these ideas of what it looks like or what success looks like. But through the process of following the steps, we will find our way. And we'll find what works for us. We've all got really different lives. Like Sam's got kids, I don't have kids. But we still have different pressures or responsibilities. We might have a really full house. Or we might have an empty house. We might have to organize babysitters. It's all honorable and okay. And however you show up is how you show up. And your clients will appreciate the realness and what is possible. Clients also feel when you're trying too hard. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but there's something in the air. If we step into this work, we are almost naturally, I know with Rumirumi, it almost demands my alignment and almost requires me to step forward in a different way when I'm not using my voice enough or when I'm leaning too much into something or I'm trying to avoid something else. It will show me in different ways in my life. And it has an energy of its own to remind me when I'm not in alignment. I find that the easiest way to actually do this mahi is to find that alignment. As challenging as it can be sometimes. So often it's things I wouldn't have even picked up, even though I've known them my whole life. So yeah, I just want to give that acknowledgement that wherever you're in the journey, it's never, even if there's feedback given, as part of a space, it's never from a space of you're wrong, your own self. No teacher or coach, counselor or healer can know what you're navigating and what your life situation is. They know what you've told them. They know what you're presenting on the day. The self that we enter into a healing space with is the self that is there to be healed. Those teachers will never know your whole life. They'll never know your whole background. They'll never know your upbringing exactly. So that's for you to own that and to understand that. And also there will be times, you touched on this, Sam, where there will be times where you feel completely alone. It is a necessary part of the journey. We want to reach out and to be understood and to be heard. And that's not always possible. I think a lot in this current field or environment is around trauma-informed healing or trauma-informed discussion. Sometimes the only way you can get through your own trauma is to sit with your own trauma and no one else can actually help you. You may not know how. Sometimes it's literally just being with it or asking what's beneath this feedback or these thoughts or these things that keep coming up again and again. And I'm thinking of others, but I'm also thinking of myself. Some of these realizations that I've had recently have made sense in terms of things that have felt out of alignment for me for ages or have felt painful for me for ages. And I've only just seen how some of the deeper things have played into those. And I guess I wasn't ready until that point to realize them.
I feel like when I go to see a healer myself or I'm looking for mahi, that I align with people that are more real and authentic and willing to be themselves. And you can tell when they're not, which makes me not want to fully open and be vulnerable, because there's the sense that they're not. So that's really helped me along the way. Thank you so much for having me in Wananga over the weekend. It's honestly such a privilege to be on this waka and to weave with you in different ways. I've grown so much and so has my mahi, and it continues to love it. I love being here with you and in person.